I better quit now. Oh, let's slow this down. Let's slow this. I got a long way to go. I really got a long way to go. I can't start up here. Okay, I can't start up here. We won't finish today. If I start up here, boy, I tell you what, I love to praise his name. Amen. You know, there's nothing like knowing him and then learning how to adore him. And when you learn how to be free, to just adore him, there's something that transpires in your spirit between you and he, because he cohabitates with you. And it's through that communion that you begin to feel the expression of and feel the presence of his love in your life. And it's euphoric almost in the way it just comes over you. And we thank God for what he's enabling us to experience so far this morning. And I pray it lays the foundation for the continuum of his presence, finding us where we are, and his word connecting with us where we are. And we, because of that connection, experience a communion, a sweet communion, that when you leave here, you take with you. It is not something to just be emotionally felt. It is something that becomes a part of who you are. And it's good to you when you driving down the road. Same to you when somebody is giving you a hard time, and that presence of the Spirit makes you put a smile on your face, and they wonder what's wrong with you. Don't you know I'm trying to come down on you? What's wrong? Why are you smiling? You think it's funny? No, it ain't funny. I just know him. And he's able to give me a comfort and a peace that is just phenomenal. Amen. I heard him say he wasn't feeling well. He'd been shouting about his daughter graduating. And, you know, and that's something to shout about. You know, in fact, we want to at this moment acknowledge all of our graduates. This is our, if you didn't catch it, we are celebrating our graduates today. So you're wondering what happened, you know, when you came to the building. You know, we're celebrating our graduates. And we do this annually, and it is just our privilege to encourage our graduates, because they are the future of the church. And if we don't learn how to invest in them while we have our hands on them, why should they make an investment in us when they get their situations going on there? So with all of our graduates, please stand. All of our graduates we're honoring, please stand. All of our graduates. Amen. We are proud of you, and we want you to know that you're just beginning, but God is not through with you yet. Continue to walk with him, and he'll walk with you. Amen. Want to thank also Sister Dinah Douglas, who's done a great job in pulling this together. Amen. She's the coordinator of this ministry. And boy, every year she's saying, I'm learning something I didn't know. Okay, that, yeah, you will. But we appreciate you and your efforts. You just keep hanging in there. You may be seated, graduates. Thank you so much for being here on today. We also want to acknowledge our visitors that are here. We know that you have choice, and we appreciate the fact that you took time out of your schedule to be a part of this service. And so if you're visiting with us today, would you just honor us by standing wherever you are? Do you have to say anything? Just stand wherever you are. All visitors, please stand. If you're visiting with us today, please stand. Any visitor, keep standing. Any other visitors, keep standing. Let us say welcome to the Church of Christ at Forest Hill. Now, if you're a first-time visitor, remain standing. Any first-timers in the house? Any first-timers? Well, praise the name of Jesus. We want to give you a token of appreciation. We believe that Forest Hill is a place where you can belong. And if you're looking for a place to call home, we hope you will consider the Forest Hill family here. We invite your Bible questions. We'll endeavor to give you Bible answers for all your Bible questions. Amen? And thank you so much for being a part of this day. On yesterday, we had the luncheon, the graduation luncheon, and heard one of the best lessons I've heard here since we've been doing it. It was done yesterday by Dr. Ed Henderson. Stand up, Dr. Henderson. He really charged the graduates with the thought of being a finite person or infinite person. I told you you're going to hear that again. Infinite person in how you deal with the things that are going on in your life. And so we are just blessed to have talent like that here. And we thank God for what was transpired. Today, immediately following the service, our graduates will be lined up at the end of the service where I normally stand, and it is our custom to pin them with dollars. And if you need change, I know they're the people that host this are getting more change. We love, the graduates look so forward to this. I heard one graduate say she's watched her cousins and the brothers and everybody else do this, and she's so glad to have her chance to stand back there. And we're so glad to honor them. Amen? We're so glad to be able to honor them. So we're asking, you don't have to, but if you want to encourage them, we're asking you to take a dollar. It's 12 graduates, I think, this year. And so there are boxes. If you don't want to stand in the line, there are boxes over there in this little in cave. And they can you can drop in individual boxes. But it's such an encouragement to the graduates to have people to show value and appreciation like that. Amen? And so we appreciate you for being, even considering it. Now, if you don't want to, you just slip out another door. And just remember, there will be a day when you're going to have a loved one. You're going to have somebody that's going to be graduating. And you're going to want your family to be supported like we're asking you to support. Amen? You know, it amazes me how people who always want some don't ever want to give nothing. It just amazes me how people that always got their hands out for something don't know how to give to other folk. I just don't get it. You know, you just can't beat God giving. Now, I'm going to just tell you, you just can't beat him giving. Amen. I got it. All of the glory belongs to you. All of the glory belongs to you. All of the glory well to you. And all of the glory belongs to you. You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it. 'Cause my hallelujah well to you. And my hallelujah belongs to you. My hallelujah belongs to you, and my hallelujah belongs to you. Amen. I got so excited. I forgot to announce. Don't forget, next Saturday is going to be our annual picnic. And we're asking all of you to make plans to come by from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. We're going to be at the in the Arlington at the, where's this place? Who? Stovall. Yeah, that's where they're going to be. And they're going to have cars and dominoes, volleyball and basketball. And we're going to have a great time fellowshipping in the Lord. Amen. We were reminiscing the other day about when we were at Stop 6 and we used to have epic picnics. Okay, and everybody would hang around for the softball game that would take place at the end of the picnic. And we had some competitive folk that played softball. Brother Wiley was one of them. Yeah, he hated to lose. He wanted to be on the winning team out there, you know. And I was a pretty good athlete back then in that day. And man, we would play some real drop-dead softball. You know, I mean, really going after it, and boy, we're looking for it. And we need to forge, that's how you forge relationships, is getting to know people in a different environment than the environment that you see them in. Amen? And so I hope you will consider taking time out and being a part of this service. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Philippians. The fourth chapter. We are in a continuous series on mind renewal. Well, last week, we taught from 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verses 3 through 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty, through God, through the pulling down of strongholds, casting down all imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and bringing into captivity, you know, all of our thoughts. And part of the process of thinking is we have to learn how to control the noise. You can't catch a thought and you're bombarded by thoughts. You have to learn how to quiet down the noise that's going on in your head and in your heart. And this morning, I want to just peel just a little bit more of this as we're moving forward in this process. I really appreciate the fact that many of you have expressed how this is helpful. And I praise the name of Jesus that it's doing what I thought it might do and some. Amen. So we're going to give God the glory for putting it on my heart and give him the glory for helping his spirit to permeate in our spirits and to help us to recognize where we are. We say thank you, God, for helping us at this season of our life. Amen. The Bible says, before I get started, let's do this. Thank you. Peace is something that we're always trying to acquire. And yet, sometimes it seems so elusive because our peace is contingent on the things that we have in our life being the way we want them to be. The things that we are experiencing in our life being the way we want them to be experienced by us. And a lot of times we're not able to find those things because life, it does happen. And we do experience things that don't work well in those areas of our lives. And then when they don't work, it just seems like we lose our peace. We just lose our peace. And that's primarily because we're basing our peace on the wrong thing. And so this morning in the series of Renewing Our Minds, I want us to consider we got to learn how to experience God's peace. You got to learn how to do it. You don't just do it because you're in the body. You do it because you are trusting some things that God says. Now, the Living Bible, I want to go through this, says basically in Philippians 4, that was read into our hearing early, don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. And if you were to look at, if you were to take a moment and just look at your dialogue that goes on in your head and the thoughts that you're thinking, how would you characterize the amount of those thoughts that would fall into the category of worry? Worry. But he says, don't worry about anything. Instead, he says, pray. Pray. Now, in order for you to do that, in order for you to pray instead of worrying, you got to have confidence in the power of prayer. If you don't have confidence in the power of prayer, and you even try to urge up a prayer, but you have no confidence in the power of the praying that you're doing, then your worry will not leave you because you don't have confidence in the power of prayer. So Paul is saying then, don't worry about nothing, but you need to have a relationship with God and trust in him such that you know how to talk to him about everything. But pray about everything. You learn how to talk to God about everything. You see, when you learn how to quiet your noise in your mind, fixate on the fact that there is a power that's greater than you that's able to help you, and you call on that power because of the things that you're going through in your life right now, then you don't worry about anything. You learn how to pray about everything. You take everything to God in prayer. And in doing so, you're telling God your needs. You have to learn how to talk to God about what you really need. That's one of the issues that we have with one another. We don't know how to tell each other what we really need, and we're expecting each other to fulfill needs that we haven't spoken. That's a whole nother message, but you know, you need to learn how to tell them what you need. What do you need? What really do you need? Well, you ought to know. No, I don't know. I ain't no mind reader. Now, I do care about you, but I want to meet your needs. So if you really want to meet, tell me. God says, I already know what you need, but I want you to come to me and tell me what you need, even though I know it. That shows that you have confidence in my ability to fulfill your needs, and you're bringing them to me. Therefore, he says, now I know what you need, but tell me what you need. And so when you tell him, it shows that you are surrendering to a power that's greater than you and that you acknowledge that he is able to handle your needs. You tell him all your needs. And while you're telling him what you need, don't forget to thank him. While you're telling him what you need, don't forget to say, thank you, Lord. One of the gratitude, the spirit of gratitude, is something that we need to incorporate into our lives, so much so that we always are thankful. always are giving thanks, always are acknowledging the power and the presence of God in our lives. So you are thanking him for what you told him, even though he hadn't done anything yet. You're already thanking him for him handling what you've said because you know he got it. Now, there's a confidence that comes when you're able to go to God with that mindset. See, you got to think that way before you can act that way. If you're not thinking that way, you can't act that way. And if you're not acting that way, you are missing access to the greatest power that you can ever have access to. But you don't know how to tap it because you don't trust it. And you're not able to think it consistently. So you don't worry, he says, about anything. Instead, you pray about everything. Tell God your needs. And don't forget to thank him for the answers. And by the way, the answer may not be yes, but he's going to answer you according to what he knows you really need. So you got to trust. As a parent, there are times when you tell your child no. But it ain't that you don't love the child, it's because you know maybe what they're asking for is not in their best interest right now. Not right now. Maybe later. Maybe when you're more mature. Well, God always hears you and he always answers. But when we don't get what we want, we pout. Well, he didn't help me. Well, he's doing what's in your best interest. Do you believe that? Are you thinking that he's always acting in your best interest? If you don't think God is acting in your best interest, then you see him as a tyrant ready to come down on you when you do wrong, but never ready to reward you when you do right. And that's a poor theology to have of God. And there are a lot of folk that have that theology, by the way. He's always ready to zap you. But he's never there to help you. That's a poor theology. That's not the God that's not my daddy. That's not my daddy. You need to know him. If you don't know him, because ain't nobody like him. Now listen, Paul says, now if you do this, something happens. You are going to experience what is known as God's peace. You are going to experience something known as God's peace. And there is no peace like God's peace. There is nothing to describe the comfort in your mind when you know God's in your life. And that he's guiding your life. You know God is walking with you. There's no confidence that you can have like knowing God's walking with you. There's no experience like knowing God is walking with you. But you don't get that until you learn how to tell him about everything. So you got to be able to talk about everything in every aspect of your life. You have to think through giving God access to the inner conversation that's going on in your life. He sees it anyway, by the way. But he wants you to tell him. Everybody with me? When you get this peace, he says, it's far more wonderful than the human mind can really understand. And it's hard to fathom how you can be in the midst of a storm and be okay because he's giving you peace. And folk look at you and they wonder why you're not falling apart. But they don't understand. You've tapped another source. So you're not operating on your own power anymore. You're operating on the strength that comes from the connection that you have with him. And it doesn't make sense to folk that don't know him. His peace, now watch this, will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet. Quiet. And at rest. As you continue to learn how to trust in Christ Jesus. It makes your thoughts quiet down. That means that you're at peace. The constant bombardment of thinking about everything. See, our lifestyles make it difficult to find peace. The way we live today makes it extremely difficult to find peace. You see, too much of our time and each day is spent on tweeting, Instagramming, Facebooking, text messaging, I should have put up there, until we forget all about how do we live and enjoy the moment. How are we able to experience the moment? When you are constantly being bombarded by a new thought, new idea, new conversation, new input, and it's going back and forth so much, and sometimes we're so addicted to it that we don't know how to do anything without picking it up. Our life would be lost if we weren't able to see, well, what did she say? Well, what did he say? Oh, I can't believe he said that. Oh, that's all kind of wrong. And you're allowing that bombardment to tie up all of your capacity to catch a thought. How are you going to catch a thought and you constantly thinking about junk? How are you going to catch something? And all you doing, it's got stuff that need to be caught. Am I helping anybody? Because what happens is we don't realize that we have lost the capacity to quieten our mind and fixate on a real issue and think through the issue. So we spend all this time that we can't enjoy right now. So as a result of this activity, our thoughts are constantly bombarded with ideas that make it extremely difficult to be able to fixate on any one thought adequately, and then plan how to handle that thought. How you gonna catch thought, and all you're doing is bombarding your mind with stuff that don't matter? And we live this way to the point to where we start being bothered by some stuff that we shouldn't have even brought into our lives, trying to fix stuff, worrying about what the president say. Well, he says something that don't make sense again. What's new? Worrying about what they said. Worrying about this. Posting everything that you're doing. I'm doing this right now. And I'm doing... And... because of that, how are we going to obey a command to catch a thought? And we don't even know how to slow down to even think about what we're thinking. You see, we have to bring balance to our thinking if we ever intend to learn how to capture any of our thoughts. And if you don't bring the balance, there will be no balance. Every individual is responsible for learning how to quiet their thinking in order to catch their thoughts. But you can't do that when you're out of balance. And let me suggest to you that many of us are completely out of balance in our thinking. And we don't even realize it. Listen, Paul says, Colossians 3:15. He says, and let the peace. This is from the Amplified Version. The good harmony which comes from Christ rule. When you let God's peace, the peace and harmony that comes from your relationship with Christ, you got to allow that to rule. It has to be able to take root in your life. Just like an umpire continuously, Christ ought to be able to rule our thinking like a good umpire calls plays. I played baseball. That was one of my better sports when I played, because I could wear my glasses and I could see, you know. And so I was better at that than most things, because I could make better contact with the ball, okay? And they had an umpire who would call the game to keep you in line. And if you got out of line, the umpire would call it on you. Or the referee, when you're watching sports in the game, they're watching for the foul, saying, no, you can't do that. You can't hit him like that. They are calling it. Well, you need to allow Christ to call all of the thoughts that you are having in your head to say whether or not those are the kind of thoughts that ought to be in your head. Somebody has to help you to navigate your thinking. And Christ in you will allow him to, if you allow him, he'll help you do it. He'll call it foul thought, bad thought, selfishness. Get away from that thought. He'll help you. Listen, he'll act like an umpire continuously. Where in your heart, in your thinking, deciding and settling with finality all of the questions that you have that arise in your mind. He will help you bring clarity to your thinking so that you don't have to wonder what you ought to be thinking. But you got to surrender. You got to connect with the peace. You have to quiet down all the noise that's going on in your heart in order for you to be able to fixate and hear the umpire call you out on that thought. Bad thought. But you can't hear him when you got all this noise going on in your head. You just can't hear him. He's ready to help you, but you gotta be in the relationship and allow him complete reign. Everybody with me? Now we have to spend more time allowing his words and ways to penetrate our hearts. See, this relationship is forged by the crucible of us putting time in on his word. In other words, the effort that you are willing to make to get to know him, depending on how much you make that effort, is going to determine how well he's going to be able to help you navigate your thinking. And so one of our problems is we don't spend enough time with him. We just don't spend enough time with him. How he going to call your thoughts and you don't know how he thinks? Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Well, what are you saying, Paul? You ought to learn how to think like he thinks,
like he would act. But in order to do so, you have to put yourself in a position where his ways are influencing your thinking. And if his ways are not influencing your thinking, then you're acting like you want to act. And it's an afterthought when you come to what Christ would want you to do. Rather than it's on the forefront of your heart because you meditate on it day and night. Now in Proverbs 4, as the wise man is talking to his son, there's some truths in it I want to pull out that I think will help us. Proverbs 4:20. He says, dear friend, you need to listen well to my words. Part one. You got to take time, focus, in order for you to hear what God really thinks. You got to take some time to listen. You don't get this through osmosis. It doesn't just come through the air. You have to forge your heart in alignment with this will by working at what is he saying in this area of my life? How does he want me to act in this area of my life? What does he want me to do in this area of my life? What does he say about this area of my life? How does he feel about this in my life? You got to know what he says before you're willing to surrender to his way. Am I helping anybody? Dear friend, listen to my words. Watch this. Tune your ears to my voice. You got to learn how to hear him. His spirit is in you. Do you hear him when he's talking to you? He's right there in you, nudging you. Do you hear him? Or is there so much noise going on that it's just another piece of information? You just go right on with what you're doing because you don't know that's him. You don't even know that's him. You got to turn your ears to tune in to hear him. This is a strange phenomenon that children learn how to hear the voice of their parents. And in a crowd, let a parent cry out, child heard it. All the children are making noise, but the child heard that because their ears are inclined to that voice. And you're able to hear it because you're listening for that voice. The decibels of the vibration of the sound that voice makes, you have them tuned into your ear, and when they are made, you pick up on it. Nobody else heard, but you got it. Do you hear him when he's talking to you? Have you heard him often enough that he can whisper and you know that's him? Are you able to hear it? You see, you got to tune your ears in to hear God. That just doesn't happen just because you get up. You have to be listening for his voice. Listen, keep, he says, my message in plain view at all times. You ought to be able to see his word. You ought to be able to hear his word. You ought to be able to listen to his word all the time. With the technology that we have today, there is no reason for you not to have the word at your disposal where you can tap it anytime you want. If you want to hear him, you can put it in, and he'll talk to you. There are apps out, there are applications out there that will talk to you from his word all day long. Instead of some of this stuff that we're listening to, that ain't bringing us no value. In fact, all it's doing is corrupting our thinking. Or we listening to messages, and do you not know these? Some of these reality shows? Help me, Holy Ghost, I'm in a bad area. Help me, Holy Spirit. Help me. These reality shows that we get so fixated in and on that are teaching us everything but how to live a godly life. Okay, let me get back to my lesson. Keep my message in plain view at all times. Listen, listen. Concentrate. Concentrate on it. When the last time you actually concentrated on hearing what he said? That means that you are able to block this out, block that out, and you're able to fixate your thinking on God wants me to be like this in this area. Concentrate. Learn it by heart. Your heart ought to know what he says. So much so that when you get into a situation, you'll hear him. You'll hear him say, don't you say that. Don't do that. You hear him. You know why? You're concentrating. And you know it by heart. Everybody with me? And those who discover these words live. The folk that know him intimately live. No, no, you didn't get it. They really live. They live a life to the fullest. Because they know him and they are free in him. Your whole body and soul is better because you know this. Wait, and I'm going to help you with something. Because your thinking affects every cell in your body. The way you think controls your blood pressure. The way you think controls the way your digestion works. When your thinking ain't right, your body don't work right. Not like it's supposed to work. Concentrate. Know it by heart. He says, those who discover these words, they live, they really live, body and soul. They're bursting with health. You want to live a better life? You want to be healthy in your life? Learn how to think with him and get your thinking right. You know, I just ain't doing no good today. Really? No. You see, I got this going on, and I got that going on, and this is over here, and that's over here, and you know, I'm just going down. Really? Okay. Yeah. If you keep talking like that, you're gonna be wiped out. Cause you telling your body how you want it to be. Keep vigilant over your heart. You got to really protect
what you're thinking. You gotta really protect how you're thinking. You know why? Because that's where life starts. It starts in your thinking. If you're not living the kind of life that you want to live, let me suggest to you, you need to start with your thinking. You're not experiencing it to the fullest, then let me suggest to you, you have not gotten your thinking together. When you learn how to think right, things fall into line. Just can't think anyway, but your thinking has to line up with his will and his word. But you got to spend some time. Okay. Now, in order to do this, you got to learn to love. I mean love. And trust his word. There was a season in my life when doing right was done because I didn't like the results of doing wrong in my life. So out of self-preservation, I just moved toward doing right. Then, over time, I learned how to value and love doing it his way. And say, you know what? This ain't just about self-preservation right now. This is how you live. And you learn how to appreciate living by his will and word. And when you learn how to love it like that, it starts to transform you inside out. He transforms you inside out. You know, not just I looked at my hands looked new, and I looked at my feet and they did too. No, it starts with your thinking. When your thinking gets right, then you get right. Everybody with me? Listen to Psalms 119, one of my favorite passages that I reflect on all the time. All the time. The psalmist says in verse number 97, oh, how I love all that you've revealed. I just love, Lord, what you've shown me. There are times, Lynch, where the ghosts take me into the passage and show me some stuff. And I want to tell my wife, she said, don't tell me because you're going to preach it. I want to hear it right now. I just can't go tell nobody. I want to shout about it. Okay? Because I love it. I just love what he does with me. I love the way his word impacts me. I love the power of his word over me. I love what he does as I walk with him. I love the relationship we have with one another. I just love him for who he is in my life. I love him. And I love his word. I don't like it. I love it. Well, I love all you reveal. I reverently ponder on it all day long. He keeps me and keeps my heart because I'm thinking about him all the time. I'm thinking about his word, what it means right now in this moment, how I ought to think right now. Lord, you said, okay, thank you for the revelation of your word. I'm thinking about it, reverently ponder it all the day long. Watch this. Your commands give me an edge on my enemies. They don't know how I'm two steps ahead. It's because I trust him. And he navigates me around. They don't understand why I don't step in what they want me to. Because he shows me what's right there and the true intent. He gives me an answer.
an advantage over the folk that don't like me because I trust his word, and he protects me because I rely on what he says. I just love his word. You see, they never become obsolete. The word of God is never old-fashioned, old fogey. His way, loving your enemy, is just as fresh today as it was when Jesus said it over 2,000 years ago. Learn it how to love somebody that don't love you and treat them right and with respect and honor them like you should. There ain't no power greater than the power that God gives you to treat folk right when you love his word. When you love it, but you gotta love it. You gotta love it. You see, I've even become smarter than my teachers since I've pondered and absorbed your counsel. He will elevate you to where people don't know how you know that. It's my daddy. You need to know him like I do. He'll do it for you too, but you gotta trust him like I do. I've become smarter than my teacher since I pondered and absorbed your counsel. See, it ain't my wisdom. It's your wisdom, and I'm willing to try it, like you said. I've become wiser than the old sages, the old folk that ought to have sense. Because they've been living longer than me. Their actions show they don't know how to act. But I do. You know why? Because I'm wise enough to trust him. And I'm willing to do what you tell me. And they're not. So even though they old, they foolish still. They don't love you. Word like I do. Listen, he says, I watch my step. I'm avoiding the ditches and the ruts of evil so I can spend all my time just keeping your word. But you got to learn how to love and trust his word. I mean, really love it. For some people, Christianity is just a novel social idea that has very little real effect or meaning in your life. That's why we can take it or we can leave it. We're glad we came when we come. Oh, yeah, that was good. I was glad I was there. But we're not troubled when we're not there. And you know why? Because we don't love it. And our thinking is such that we don't allow his spirit to have reign over our lives. And that's why we can take it or leave it. We can do it or not. If it works for me, fine. If I can make it in, if I fit it in, it's good. If I don't, well, you know, ain't no big deal. See, you don't love it. You don't love him. And you don't value what he can do in your life because you've never allowed him to do anything for you like that, because you've never cleared your mind to focus, concentrate on him. Do you know how to be still and listen to God? Do you know how to do that? I mean, be still and listen to God. Listen. In Luke chapter 10, verse 38, there's a story that I want to walk us through. And I want you to catch what's happening in the story. Verse 38, as they continued their travel, Jesus entered into a village. A woman by the name of Martha welcomed him and made him feel quite at home. She had a sister, Mary, who sat before the master, hanging on every word he said. Hanging on every word he said. Because Jesus is teaching in the house. You're never going to be taught like when you're taught by Jesus. Because he's going to tell you some things that you ain't going to hear from nobody else. Because they're coming from the Father directly to you. Mary, when he came in, sat down and was just taking in every word that he said. Martha was cooking dinner, trying to take care of the guests. Jesus is in the house, and I got to feed them, and I want the meal just right, and I want it to do just like this, and we got all this stuff that's not in place. But Martha was pulled away by all she had to do in the kitchen. After a while later, she stepped in, interrupted them. Do you not know that when you think it is not right, then you don't know how to value the moments that you're in because you're thinking about the moment is not right. You're fixated on carnal things instead of spiritual things, so you miss the value of the moment that you're in because you don't recognize what's really important. She stepped in, interrupting them. Master, don't you care that my sister has abandoned the kitchen to me? She done left me in the kitchen, Lord. I done gave her the eye 2-3 times. And she ain't moved. I stood and stared. She's still looking up at you. Like, I ain't got nothing to do. And why in the world is she down here, sitting down here at your feet? Tell her to get up and come on in this kitchen and help me get this meal together. Am I helping anybody? Get up. Tell her to get up. Master said, Martha, dear Martha, you're fussing far too much and getting yourself worked up over nothing. Wait a minute. Nothing. What you eat physically ain't nothing. Whether or not it's laid out right, don't matter. Whether all the silverware is where it needs to be and the dishes are where they're lined up, ain't important. Whether or not you get the right seasoning on the meat and it's as tender as you want it to be, doesn't matter. You're fussing and getting yourself worked up over nothing. But there's one thing only that's essential. And Mary has chosen that thing. She recognized the brevity of my time on this earth. She recognized how infrequent she'll be able to sit at my feet. She said, I don't care what Martha's doing. I'm going to hear what Jesus got to say. And she sat there and listened.
Jesus said one only thing is essential, and Mary has chosen it. Watch this. It's the main cause.
Spiritual food is the most important thing you can ever acquire in your life. I don't care how full you get about 1 o'clock today or 1:30 today, because some of you are already gone there.
What really is important is how full is your soul? And do you recognize when you're being fed? You need to hang on every word rather than wondering in your mind when this is going to be over. How many times are you going to make this point? See, you missed all that good food to get to something that ain't important. It's the main course, and it will not be taken from her. God wants you to want him. God wants you to want him. Everybody with me? Now, he's proven he wants you, because he sent his son. But he wants you to want him as bad as he wants you. And how does he know you want him? How you thinking? You see, you can't fool him by your thinking. You can look pious to me, sedited and sanctified and holy, blessed and highly favored to me. But God is able to look down into your heart and see all of that noise that's in there and know that you don't even know him. Not at all. Not at all. So the peace of God is available to you right now. You see, Paul says in Philippians, don't you worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. And don't forget when you're telling him to thank him for his answers. Because if you do this, you're going to experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and your heart quiet and at rest while you are trusting in Christ Jesus, or as you trust in Christ Jesus. And don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove. You have to prove what is the good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. You have to prove that. How do you prove it? By how you trust him in his word, by how you allow his word to have reign over your life. And finally, brethren, in Philippians 4:8, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest and just and pure, lovely, and of good report, if there be any virtue, if there's anything that's praiseworthy, you got to learn how to get that into your thinking. Think on these things. Learning how to have the peace of God. Amen? If you're here this morning and the Spirit of God has convicted you of where you are. Now, the question is, how's your integrity? How's your integrity? Because it's very easy for the Spirit to do his job, and we act like he didn't have nothing to do for us. Because we show enough all right where we are. And when you take that posture like you don't need to do anything, then the Spirit's nudging you is ineffective because you are not honest enough to acknowledge you're being nudged. That's your integrity. And if you're not honest enough to be truthful to God in you, then it's no wonder you ain't gonna tell me the truth outside, okay? Because you won't even acknowledge it to God, who is in you and knows where you are. So I'm asking you right now, as you are learning how to quiet your mind, if you know you have transgressed the laws of God by your thinking or lack of controlling your thinking, this is the time to acknowledge, Father, I've sinned against you.